This is the Straight Dope, and we are talking about steel today. Steel is the complement to the paper episode, and I'm actually recording those the same day because I want to make sure that they get put out in consecutive order, but I'll probably launch them on the same day. So if you listen to one, you probably listen to the other. I don't know if you listen to it the same day or not, but nevertheless, this is going to be talking about steel. Before I get started, I wanted to remind you that if you like the episodes, you like the podcast, and you want to support this, the best way you can do that is to go to riflecraft.com and get a supporter-level subscription. That allows me to keep doing this and stay motivated and stay psyched and know that I'm helping people out there with their shooting familiarity, training, knowledge, thought, thinking, getting away from the status quo of, you know, somebody telling you what to do, what to think, how to do it, how to, you know, whatever, all the freaking garbage that all the podcasts seem to just say the same stuff over and over again. And I'm trying to think around all that stuff. And I'm not thinking about that. I just think the way I think and share what I think on here. So do that. And that keeps this going. If you're listening to this, you can also share it on social media, comment, email me, message me, text me, whatever. I like hearing from you. It's pretty awesome. I'm psyched about this format, so I'm going to keep doing it. Mile High Shooting supports the podcast, and they're awesome. So go to milehighshooting.com and buy yourself some good equipment. I have been sending people there for Two Vets tripods and AI ATX rifles, all the optics, all the ammo, all the reloading stuff, because they could send it anywhere and they have great return policy. They're awesome people. They're my local shop and I like the family that owns it, operates it. I like their employees and I think you would too. Sniper's Hide has articles that I write, opinion pieces that I have, and a Riflecraft TV channel that's going to have more videos soon, classes and things that you can watch, listen to, lives you could tune into, all sorts of stuff. So if you don't use Sniper's Hide, head over there and check it out. Look for the Hide TV part, sign up for that, get alerts when things start populating there. And that would be pretty awesome. If you've been there in the past, but don't visit often, go back, take a look. Look at the Hide TV and see what's changed. Look at the articles and let me know what you think. Let's talk about steel. Steel is probably what attracts a lot of shooters to shooting. After they hit a piece of steel and they hear that ding and they see it move and it's far away, they want it to be smaller, they want it to be farther, and that rabbit starts running. I think that steel also develops this Pavlovian positive response of, wow, I just did something awesome. It's cool. If I could make my ringtone and alarms and everything sound like the hits on steel at distance, I probably would, and I probably could, but just don't know how to do it. And I think that would be awesome. I would be happy all the time. Everything would be great. I think that steel prevents a ton of positives and a handful of negatives. Negatives are going to be on the articles. I'm not going to talk negatives on here. So if you're here for negatives, go somewhere else. What can you do at steel that you can't really do at paper? And how do you grow from it in a positive way that's not just checking your zero, right? When I say that, that's just a term that I use for somebody that just kind of walks around out and then just repeats it over and over and over again, just hitting the thing over and over and over and over and over again. And that's not training. That's just, you know, sending money downrange, confirming your zero. But it's important to shoot steel. There are a lot of great benefits, a lot of great takeaways, and a lot of good information that you can use to scale yourself up and get better as a shooter overall. Probably the most common one is that you can train wind because you're shooting at distance. There's a time of flight consideration for the bullet, and the time of flight that bullet's exposed to the wind relates to a deviation left, right, and a little bit up or down from the point of aim. And you have to learn as a shooter how to accommodate the wind. My Riflecraft Quick Wind, I think, is a quick way, easy way for people unfamiliar with wind to learn it and be very, very effective, faster than traditional methods. But a lot of you are great at wind reading and have your own systems that work well. Can't really work wind at 100 yards. There are tricks, tips, activities you could do at paper to develop the skill sets and the mental work for that. I've got drills that I give my coaching clients ways that they can get pretty damn good at wind without even shooting at distance. But if you're going to verify that it works and validate that it works, you have to shoot at distance. And steel's a great way to do that. Now, if you're going to do that, I don't recommend just shooting unpainted plates for training. For data collection and for training, I recommend people use big targets because you can paint them, put water lines on them, and then you can determine where you wanted to hit, where you did hit, if there was a wind difference. But you have to paint those, right? Because you have to paint it, you have to see it, you have to measure it with your reticle, and then decide whether it was acceptable, whether you were off from your wind call or not. And that doesn't mean that just hitting the plate is acceptable, right? It means hitting the plate, reading the impact, and understanding what reality was versus what your expectations were and comparing the differences and trying to get better. So when you're doing training for data collection, oftentimes I recommend big plates painted with a water line so that you know the up-down variation, and then you know where you were intending on hitting the target and where the bullet actually went so that you could determine what influenced it away from its point of impact. Wind training on steel is necessary if you plan to perform with a high hit percentage. And you have to, there's really no way around that. But there's some prerequisites to that even. Getting good at paper is great. Having a good solid zero is great. But the dope that you use, right, the elevation that you dial to hit a target in a specific distance has to be validated and verified at distance. Just because you entered shit into your ballistic calculator doesn't mean it's giving you the right number. Now, with gravity ballistics, we make people shoot big plates with water lines and write down every 100 yards what was your elevation, because that's telling you reality. But you need to get that first adjusted so that when you hit the yardage, you always dial that yardage in those conditions at that elevation with that DA and so on and so forth. But you have to have good data to hit a target at distance. Once you have that good data, that's given, right? We don't need to confirm our elevation once we've confirmed it. Otherwise, you're just checking your zero again. But at that point, you can start to do wind. And the time of flight affects the elevation that you hold, and it affects the wind drift that you hold. But the bullets fall faster than wind causes it to drift. And so you're going to have a lot more variation in elevation, but you want to confirm that. And the way you're going to do that is by shooting plates at distance, right? You can't just shoot one at 100 and one at 1,000 and say, all right, well, I'm good to go. There's a good chance your elevation won't be as accurate as it could be if you confirm your data at distance. And so that's really good to do. But once you have good data and you know that the numbers are good, it probably isn't going to really change. And so confirming that too often could be costly and unnecessary on your barrel life, on your wallet, or at any kind of performance metric. I do these when I go out to the range because gravity ballistics is a part of the program that Frank and I teach and champion, and is linked into my quick wind. And so I'll often grab different lots of factory ammo and I'll get data for each rifle by running the gravity ballistics. And the reason I like to do that first is in fewer than 10 rounds, I have data points of reality. And then I'll take my stuff and put it into a ballistic calculator, because ballistic calculators are great, but I don't need to continuously shoot because I already know the reality. If I have to dial 6.2 mils at 900 yards, I don't need to do that over and over again, right? If the ballistic calculator doesn't match that, something's wrong in the calculator. So I get my picture of reality first, and then I work back from there and I save rounds. So it's a little bit smarter. Collecting data is very good to have, and you want to have it for every barrel, every ammo lot type, weight, speed, and you want to have it at different temperatures, in different environmental conditions. So the more data that you have, the better, but the thing is you only really need to get it in that environment once. So for that stuff, any more than that, and you're just confirming your zero. Target acquisition is a big deal for shooters, and almost all shooters that I talk with overrate or self-assess higher than they actually are with target acquisition. When it comes to being able to build a position and get on target quickly, it helps to have something small in the distance that you can see with your naked eye, but it's not just staring at your face like a paper berm or a backer or a big-ass sheet of paper that you're going to be on no matter what. I'm sure all of you listening have found yourselves at times getting on and then hunting around for the target and grabbing the magnification and dialing it down and then figuring out where you're at and then dialing it back up and looking over and looking around and trying to figure out where you're at. It really helps to be able to do that on steel at distance because you're already shooting steel at distance. So you want to be able to make sure that you don't take 30 minutes to set up, get everything anchored, you know, completely hammered down and then shoot because you're skipping over the skills that you can get shooting steel by not having relative things that you're working before you actually take that shot. Target acquisition is a great thing to do while you're shooting steel and alternating targets that you're looking at and building the positions that you're about to shoot each time is helpful with those repetitions. I think that something that's overlooked but comes up with a lot of shooters, and some of them are very familiar with it, but don't quite understand the effects, and shit, maybe I don't either, but I've run into it enough that it's something that I'm kind of obsessive about, is parallax adjustment. Parallax doesn't mean that the image that you're looking at is crystal clear. It means that the reticle is glued to the target. Different quality of glass is going to have different quality sight picture, and I've seen really high-end scopes with amazing glass. They have, it's a crystal clear sight picture no matter what you've got it set on. So you can get down and be tricked into thinking, man, that's perfectly clear, I'm going to shoot. But if the parallax is off, you don't hit where you intended to. And it's really misleading. There are other scopes that the glass quality is not good, but the only way that it gets that you get a good sight picture is if you, you know, adjust it and you get this good image. But often, you know, sometimes it's connected and sometimes it's disconnected. You need to be familiar with that. But distance allows you to play with parallax to make sure that it's actually on, because I've seen over a mil deviation. And I had heard over the years, some people said, oh, well, it's only 0.3 at 100. I've definitely seen over a mil. I've seen 1.2 mils at 100 yards, and I've seen that extend to 1.2 mils at 1,000 yards with some scopes. Firsthand, different scopes, I've seen it. 1.2 mils of variation of where you're aiming for relative to the target is huge, right? You're not shooting a 1.2 mil target at 1,000 yards. That steel is so fucking heavy, like, no way, right? So if where your reticle is isn't where the bullet's actually going to go, you're in deep shit, right? So being familiar with how to train and adjust your parallax is very useful, and you're shooting steel. Steel allows you and gives you the opportunity to check that. Steel itself doesn't do that, but you're already there and you're changing your distances. And so because you're changing distances and shooting steel, I feel like this is fair game to talk about. Environmental effects. Wind is the big one, right? Wind is the wild card, but there are updrafts, downdrafts, there's humidity, less humidity, even though I think we all just set it to 50. There are cold temperatures, hot temperatures, and when you're going out there and getting data, you can actually witness the difference. Like, if I go out to Fort Morgan and I shoot at a distance and it's 99 degrees, and then I go out there another day and it's 14 degrees, I'm going to see a difference in that point of impact for several reasons. Now, we can go back and look at those reasons that caused that shift, or I could say at 14 degrees at this DA, this is the elevation I need to dial, and that's reality. If we're just practical shooters, you just need to know reality. You don't need to understand it. You don't need to listen to a podcast and read a book and get all the charts and data and numbers to explain it. It's cool if you do, and it's awesome to know about stuff, but that chase for data and chase for numbers and trying to explain everything with numbers but overlook reality is a trap that prevents you from shooting, and it sends you chasing your tail a lot of times. And reality is reality, right? If it's 12 degrees out and it's a DA that's a specific thing, and I know what my data is, I'm not going to worry about, oh, my powder slowed down and the DA changed by this much and I'm going to do this and I'm going to spin my kestrel and I'm going to do... It's like, no, I'm just going to dial what I know it's going to hit at, and it's going to hit where I want it to hit. That doesn't take excessive amounts of rounds, and it doesn't cause headaches until you start chasing the numbers and the explanations, and then you start panicking, worrying about all these variables, when in reality, if you record it old school, run it the way you know it should behave, it'll behave the way you expect it to. So environmental effects are amazing at distance. And, you know, when it's hot and humid and there's mirage, you're never going to get used to or comfortable with or enjoy that there's mirage. But you can learn what happens in mirage conditions on a target and where the bullet hits versus where you wanted it to hit, and you can learn to adapt to it. So people that are able to do that, they've put their time in those environments, and I think you have to do that on steel at different elevations off the ground because it changes when you're prone versus when you're standing, and educate yourself on what you experience. And that doesn't take a lot of shots, right? You don't need to just shoot over and over again like, oh, I got to hold down 3/10 and then I'm going to shoot it 100 times. You're just confirming your zero, and you're forgetting that there was something to learn there. And once you learned it, you don't have to keep doing it over and over and over and over. So I think that something you can do on steel, you can't do it on paper. Another thing is most ranges have props. So you can shoot off of different props and you can start transitioning yourself towards a competition. I can't imagine running comp stages all the time as training, but I can see doing it as you're tapering into a competition to get familiar with that style of movement, that style of prop and stuff. So as you're getting ready for a competition, you can tune up your movement, tune up your speed, tune up and decide, you know, what are the things I can and can't do getting ready for this competition that I might be able to tune up. You do that by running props and running simulated stages and knowing, okay, I won't time out, or I will time out, or when this happens, you know, this is how fast I fix it, and I can still get back on and get yourself ready, get your mind right, and then go into that competition with confidence. You could do that on steel, and I think that runs really well. But when it comes to what are the benefits of steel, it allows you to develop, assess, and refine your wind culling. It allows you to confirm your dope and your elevation. It allows you to practice target acquisition. It allows you to get familiar with the optics and how it works, how you're going to hold over, how you're going to dial, how you're going to account for the things that are required when you're changing distances that you're shooting at, near, far, near, left, right, up, down. And you can't simulate that indoors. You can't simulate that on paper. You have to go out and do it yourself, but you don't need to do it as often. And you need to be smart about it, right? You need to record each shot. You need to think about it. You need to have the data so that later you can reflect on it and make sure that you can repeat it across multiple days. Steel is awesome. I love it. There are also ways that it can deteriorate your shooting over time. And the right balance between paper and steel is important if people are going to continue to progress. But that's going to be the article and the video that are going to go on the hide, not this podcast. So if I missed anything, that's just because I am sitting here just winging it like I always do. But hopefully you took away something from this and you can decide what combination balance of, do you need paper? Do you need steel? Do you need both? Do you not need anything? Figure out if what you're doing is appropriate for what your goals are. That's the idea, because really, you know, we all want to shoot steel. We need to learn to love paper, and there should be a good balance between that. So if you like this, become a subscriber, supporter, reach out to me, hit up the sponsors of the podcast, share it and stuff like that. But think for yourself, do lots of testing, come up with good explanations. Keep testing those. Keep asking questions. And if you want me to talk about something, reach out and I will. Till next time.